House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff announced today that public hearings in the House's impeachment inquiry into President Trump will start next week.
So those open hearings will be an opportunity for the American people to evaluate the witnesses for themselves, to make their own determinations about the credibility of the witnesses, but also to learn firsthand about the facts of the president's misconduct.
The hearings will begin Wednesday with William Taylor, acting ambassador to Ukraine, as well as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State George Kent. That announcement from Democrats comes after one key witness, U.S. Ambassador to the EU Gordon Sondland, revised his testimony, saying he did tell a top Ukrainian official that military aid was conditioned on political investigations that President Trump wanted. I spoke earlier today with Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland. He's on the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees. And I asked him about how significant he found that testimony from Gordon Sondland, that reversal, that the ambassador did deliver a quid pro quo message to the Ukrainians.
Well, it's pretty significant to me. I remember reading Mark Twain saying that if you always tell the truth, you never have anything to remember. But he had a lot to remember, and I guess he said his recollection was refreshed by other people's testimony, and he remembered what he described as a quid pro quo. It's interesting to me that the president's defenders, after denying a quid pro quo, are now falling back on quid pro quo as the defense of the president, because, of course, the actions that took place in Ukraine were a shakedown. It was far more serious than just you give me this and I'll give you that. It was withholding hundreds of millions of dollars in military and security assistance until the Ukrainian government coughed up the political information that the president wanted to essentially plant on the Bidens, and until the Ukrainian government confirmed the discredited Ukrainian conspiracy theory about what took place in the 2016 election.
Do you think, though, that this new information is going to change the minds of any House or Senate Republicans?
Well, what's happening is that the president's factual defenses are successively collapsing. And there have been different efforts to mount a defense, but there's really no alternative hypothesis about what happened. There was an organized shakedown by Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and his little team of henchmen, who worked first to smear the U.S. ambassador, Yovanovitch, and then to drive her out of office to clear the pathway for them to shake down the Ukrainian government. There's no rival narrative here. Everybody agrees, and we're just getting witness after witness, distinguished public servants, State Department employees, Foreign Service officers, telling their side of the story and their impression of what took place. But all of them add up to the same thing. And so this is why over the last couple of days, it seems as if the president's defenders have turned back to the search for the Holy Grail, who is the whistleblower. And to me, that's kind of like Richard Nixon saying, let's find out who Deep Throat was. It's just quite beside the point.
Still, impeachment is not a legal process. It's more of a political process. And as far as Republicans are concerned, the president didn't do anything wrong, or at least not impeachable. And even the public polls have shown that only about 49% of Americans support impeaching the president.
Well, first of all, 49% is a dramatic number. When the impeachment investigation began against Richard Nixon, that number was around 19 or 20%. We already have a lot more Americans believing that this impeachment inquiry is necessary. And indeed, a Fox News poll showed that a majority of Americans think that already believe that the president should be impeached and removed from office. But look, it's not a question of the polls. It's a question of what the Constitution requires us to do. And the Constitution makes it a mixed question of law and politics. The legal part is high crimes and misdemeanors, which the founders defined as treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors, meaning offenses against democracy itself. It's hard to think of a greater offense against democracy than using the power and the resources of government and the American people to shake down a foreign government to get involved in our election. So there is a political dimension to it, and that political dimension is what Abe Lincoln called public sentiment. And public sentiment is very important here. This is going to be a dialogue between people in Congress and the public, as the truth comes out. And that's why I'm very excited about the public phase of the questioning, the fact that the public is going to get to see these witnesses themselves. These people are really quiet American heroes who have overcome the obstructionism and the opposition of the White House to come forward and tell their story.
Democrats want Mick Mulvaney, the White House chief of staff, to testify. He is apparently unlikely to cooperate. As you know, other senior White House officials have refused to come before the committee. Enforcing subpoenas through the courts could take weeks or even months. Are you going to wait for the testimony from those officials or just move ahead with what you have?
Well, Mulvaney is obviously a critical witness here because he was involved in all these events. He cheerfully conceded on the news the other day that there was absolutely a quid pro quo here. He said, that's how we do business. And I think he had to recant it several hours later. But when the Congress of the United States issues you a deposition, a subpoena, that's not an optional process. And it's just remarkable to me that we've gotten to a point where we're conditioned to accept that the president and all the president's men feel as if a subpoena from Congress is some kind of optional, permissive process. It's not.
But it doesn't seem so far to have had any teeth to it. I mean, nobody's gone to jail because they've been defying subpoenas from Congress yet.
Well, you're right. And there are a lot of unprecedented and dramatic things going on in our country today, and we have to get back to the rule of law. Now, I want to start with the good news on this. The overwhelming number of witnesses now have come forward despite all of the intimidation and threats and bullying by the White House. They have decided to come forward to tell their story. Others, more directly under the spell of Donald Trump, are not coming. We could go to the Department of Justice to ask them to bring criminal charges for obstruction of justice. The problem is that that means that Bill Barr is back in charge. And if we could get Bill Barr to bring obstruction charges, he would be the first person we would bring obstruction charges against. So that's not going to work. We could go to court to try to bring civil charges, and we might do that. But as you say, that's a lengthy and protracted process. The other thing we can do is to use what the Supreme Court said in 1821 in a case called Anderson versus Dunn, are our inherent powers of contempt to enforce our own orders. It's not easy because we would have to essentially guarantee people a minimal due process hearing. In other words, we would have to stop everything else we're doing on impeachment to bring someone in and then give them the chance to be heard, to offer their evidence. We would offer evidence against them. And then we would decide whether or not to hold them in contempt. And what could follow would be potentially a fine, detention, and so on. But I would tell you that among the rank and file in the House of Representatives, people have been ready for a long time to do this because we think it's outrageous that the executive branch of government would try to pull a curtain down over all of these people who owe us their testimony.
I want to ask you one more thing. This process, you're coming right up to the Iowa caucuses and the start of the presidential election voting. Is there any concern in the Democratic Party in the House about that, about stepping on whoever wants to be the next president of the United States?
Well, I don't think that anybody is thinking in partisan terms about this. Our impeachment investigation has been a very solemn and sober process focused on our constitutional oaths of office. Having said that, the same founders who built the impeachment process into our constitutional duties also built regular elections into our constitutional duties. And so we clearly don't want to interfere with that when we get into 2020. And I think that a lot of us feel a very strong burden to try to get our part of this done in 2019 so it can get over to the Senate. And we hope the Senate will conduct its constitutional duties by having a trial with full due process protections for the president, but will allow our case to be heard in the event that we go forward. But at this point, we've seen overwhelming evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors so far uncontradicted by any fact witnesses.
That is Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland, a Democrat who sits on the Oversight and Judiciary Committees. Congressman, thanks for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
And we spoke earlier today. The House Intelligence Committee says the public hearings in the impeachment inquiry will start next week.